Welcome to This Week I Learned, your audio guide to the most surprising discoveries and fascinating studies of the week. I'm your host, Lauren Hansen. This week I learned the mystery behind this funny sound that bees make. That sound has mystified scientists for nearly 70 years. At first, researchers thought it was a signal for food, because they noticed that bees exchanged food after they made the noise. But that hypothesis changed when researchers observed bees doing their foraging waggle dance. This is a little movement that signals to bees that it's okay to look for food this way. But then they noticed the bees making that bump sound around the waggle dance. So they interpreted that the bees were using the bump sound as a warning that the location may actually be dangerous. But all of that changed with a recent study out of the UK that used updated technology. That sound that bees make is actually the vibrations of their wing muscles. It's inaudible to humans, but can be detected by something called an accelerometer. For this study, researchers embedded an accelerometer inside a hive and recorded there for more than a year. Then they used software to scan the recordings and identify the signal. And then some of those signals were collected and converted into that sound clip I played for you before. And what researchers found is that bump sound was mostly at night, which means the waggle warning theory was out because bees only forage during the day. Researchers also found that the bump sound was happening all the time, like 6 or 7 times a minute. This means that the food theory was out because there's just no way they would be requesting food that frequently. Instead, and rather adorably, the bump sound is likely just the bee being startled by another bee, kind of like an oops or a whoops when they bump into each other. This oops theory actually fits in with the previous ones, because when bees ask for food or interrupt a waggle dance, they do so by butting their head against another bee. And researchers think that it's probably the bee that's being headbutted who lets out the surprise sound. Where those earlier theories had it reversed, it was assumed that the sound was the aggressor, the stop, or the feed me bump. But because the sound happened so frequently, the whoops sound makes more sense, because it could come from all sorts of things, like requesting food or stopping the waggle dance or just accidentally running into each other. This week I learned that caffeine can boost your memory, but only if you drink it at a certain time of day. As you know, in life, there are morning people and there are night owls. Morning people feel their best in those first hours of the day, whereas night owls really come to life in the afternoon. And age actually has a lot to do with this. And that's likely because of our circadian rhythms. They shift around the age of 50, going from a low point in the morning to a low point in the afternoon. If you're a morning person, the morning is when your memory works best, and the afternoon is when you start to see some decline. The situation is reversed for afternoon and night people. Researchers in 2 different studies wanted to see if a simple stimulant like caffeine could improve the memory lag that happens during those non-optimal parts of the day. One study focused on adults over 65. Those participants ingested caffeine 30 minutes prior to a memory test in the afternoon, and researchers found that the caffeine eliminated the decline in memory performance. Across the board, memory was improved, including delayed recall, recognition hits, and false positive error rates. Okay, so here's what's interesting. The older adult study only looked at the effects of caffeine, so researchers wondered if other stimulants might also increase physiological arousal. So this other study focused on college-age students, whose optimal brain function is in the afternoon. They're not morning people. But this time, researchers tested the effects of 2 stimulants on memory boost in the morning, caffeine and exercise. The idea was that if caffeine benefits memory by increasing general physiological arousal, then the same would be true for memory and morning exercises. And they found that participants who drank coffee in the morning were 30% better at memory tests than those who drank decaf. But what was really unexpected is that exercise did not improve memory at all. Another surprising finding was that caffeine provided no memory boost in the afternoon, when their brain was at their best. So basically, if you're a morning person, have a cup of coffee in the afternoon to give your memory a boost. And if you're an afternoon person looking for some help, gulp down that cup first thing. This week I learned that goats can recognize their friends. You see, there's this thing called cross-modal recognition. It's the ability to mentally keep track of others, how they look, how they smell, how they sound. And up until the late 1960s, the overwhelming assumption was that only humans had this ability. But then scientists came to realize that all kind of other animals do too, like horses, lions, crows, dogs, and certain primates. So a new study wanted to see if goats joined that elusive group. Researchers set up shop at the Buttercup Sanctuary for Goats in the United Kingdom. Buttercup has something like 125 goats, and during the day, all the goats roam freely among the stable complexes and in the large field. At night, the goats are housed in stables in groups of two or three, though a few goats do get their own pad. But those bunkmates are consistent. So for the study, researchers pulled one goat as the subject, and then one of its stable mates, and then a few randos from the herd. Then the goats were set up. They were put into individual pens that were set up into a triangular formation. The subject goat was at the top, and the two other goats would be at the bottom in their own pens. In the middle of those two other goats was a camouflaged recorder that played the goats' calls at different times. Okay, so that's the setup. Here's the study. One experiment offered the goat a choice between the herd member it didn't know and the stablemate it did know. And the goat, amazingly, correctly identified whose call was whose. Now, researchers could tell this because the goat looked faster and for longer at the goat whose call was being played. This happened for both the goat it knew and the goat it didn't. When researchers had the goat switch sides, the subject still got it right. But here's what's really interesting. When the subject wasn't given a choice, when both goats were strangers, it basically treated them the same way, with merely a glance. While it's pretty incredible that the goat could identify his buddy's call, it's pretty exceptional that it could figure out that the stranger's call wasn't also his buddy's. Because it shows that the goat may be using inferential reasoning, basically the process of elimination, to figure out that, hey, that's not my buddy's voice, so it must be you. This week I learned how you ship a giant panda across the world. On February 21st, Bao Bao, the National Zoo's 3.5-year-old giant panda, is heading back to China. Though Bao Bao was born in the U.S., she is not a birthright citizen. All pandas are property of China. Giant pandas are an endangered species and indigenous to China. There are only about 2,000 to 3,000 living in the wild and just a couple other hundred living in captivity. The bulk of those are in zoos and conservatories in China, but there are about a dozen zoos around the world, including three in the States, that have giant pandas. Pandas for rent wasn't always China's policy. Back in the 1950s, the nation engaged in panda diplomacy, basically loaning out their beautiful creatures in return for favors. This was the case when Nixon visited China in 1972.
First came the interesting spectacle of a half dozen of the top leaders of communist China saluting as their military band played the Star-Spangled Banner to mark President Nixon.
In thanks for that visit, Mao Zedong gifted the U.S. two giant pandas who lived at the National Zoo until their deaths in the 1990s. But in 1984, China changed its panda diplomacy to one of a loan program, and it's been quite lucrative. It costs about $1 million per year to rent a panda, and the typical loan agreement lasts about 10 years, with a possibility of extending that time. And all the proceeds go to China's Wildlife Conservation Association. Now, what's interesting is that even the offspring of pandas that are on loan are the property of China. Of course, pandas that are loaned out in pairs may mate, and that would be the hope. And if that cub survives, it will likely be called home to China for breeding when it matures around the age of 4. And such is Bao Bao's fate. Bao Bao will travel in relative style via a specially chartered FedEx cargo plane. FedEx actually transports animals all the time, and it actually does the panda flight free of charge. On this flight, Bao Bao will be the only cargo that the 777 FedEx plane will be carrying. She'll be traveling in a 800-pound shipping container, dubbed the Rolls-Royce of enclosures, and she'll have enough food and water to get her through the 16-plus-hour trip. The one thing that will be missing from Bao Bao's flight will be any toys. Really, there is no need. The young bear will often find enough entertainment in her own body, stuffing her arm into her mouth or what have you. Bao Bao will also be accompanied by her own support team, who will keep her calm and content the whole flight long. Outside of the plane, though, there is a massive international team working on this special travel situation. About 60 people are involved on the U.S. side, preparing the airplane, watching the weather, figuring out the route, and what have you. And then there are another 30 on China's side, containing similar issues, all to ensure that this young panda arrives safely back home. And that does it for this episode of This Week I Learned. Look out for new episodes every Friday on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. To read more about any of the facts I've mentioned or to check out more of our series, including 7-Minute Opinions and 7-Minute Explainers, go to theweek.com/podcasts. And if you like what you hear, subscribe or tell a friend or kindly give us a rating or a review on iTunes. I'm Lauren Hansen, and thank you so much for listening.